This is the Sounds of Healing, interviews and music for you to reflect on, be rejuvenated by, and possibly even put you on a path of reconciliation. Who knows what you just might walk away with? I'm Alvinette Downing, and I hope to put some sunshine in your life and remind you of just how good it is to be alive.
I'm Nanette Weiser, and Alvinette has asked me to join her in studio today because we're going to talk about so many things, but most importantly, the Al Downing Honors is coming up July 20th at 4 o'clock at the Palladium. Let's start before we talk about your father and your mother, Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the Al Downing Honors and what's going to happen.
It's going to be a wonderful celebration. Every year, we try to celebrate my father's birthday. His birthday is actually July 19th, but we try to get as close to his birthday as possible and just to celebrate and give homage to him and my mother because they both had such a huge part in creating the Al Downing Tampa Bay Jazz Association. The program is going to be absolutely fantastic. We're going to have LaJazz as one of our featured guests. Erica Sutherland will be emceeing, and Erica has a wonderful, wonderful reputation and has done amazing things in the entertainment industry as an actress, as a producer, as a director. So it's going to be a great, great experience for everybody that attends. And we'll also, as always, we celebrate our scholarship winners of the Al Downing Tampa Bay Jazz Association. And we'll have some of them, some of our youth, be playing as well as LaJazz. So get your tickets. Soon they will be selling out quickly, and it will be an experience for everybody.
Absolutely. And folks, we'll have that link on the article that appears on Sounds of Healing. So with no further ado, let's meet Major Alvin Al Joseph Downing.
I am so happy to introduce you to my father. Everyone knew him by Al. I knew him as Daddy. And my mother's name was Bunny, and although her actual name was Bernice Goss Downing, but everybody called her Bunny, and we always asked, where did you get that from? She said, you know what, my dad just looked at me, and she said, it's my sweet Bunny, and that name just followed her her entire life. My father was a wonderful musician from the age of, let's say, I think, 5. We are trying to track back as far as we can, but he was listening to his cousin, Gladys, play the piano, practice, and in the piano studio of her house. And she was practicing, and my dad heard her and decided to pick up where she's left off and jumped on the piano keyboards and started playing exactly what she had. And now his cousin was maybe 4 or 5 years older. And as he practiced, her parents were in the other room and thought that was Gladys practicing all that while. And they did that a few times before the discovery was made that was actually a 5-year-old playing what a 9-year-old should be playing. And so my grandparents decided to go on and purchase a piano and get my father started. And that's the story, how the story began.
I love the fact that in 9th grade, and this so speaks to the Al Downing Association, which fills everyone with joy, his band was called the 10 Clouds of Joy.
Yes, yes. And I think that I was looking at the picture. We have a picture in our God's Instrument book that gives the history of our family and my father and mother. The picture of the 10 Clouds of Joy shows that there were 3 saxophones, 3 trumpets, 2 clarinets, an upright bass, drum, and keyboards. So that's 10 instruments. And they were seniors in high school that went to Stanton in High School in Jacksonville, which was one of the first freedom schools for African-American students when the only public school that African-Americans could go to in Jacksonville at the time.
Is it true that he met your mother, Bunny, at college, and he went to, now, of course, it's Florida A&M now Florida A&M University, was a college family known for music. How did he meet Bunny?
Yes, he did. There's a lot of funny stories about that. He did meet her and at Florida A&M College. They took a few classes together, and apparently my mom and dad were pretty bright students. And at the final for their English, my mother used to tell this story. They had to memorize a piece to say in front of the class for their English literature class. And my dad asked my mother, "Bunny, hey, Bunny, what are you doing?" And, you know, naively she said, "Oh, I'm just doing this passage." And so he goes, "Oh, okay." And so when the teacher decides to ask for someone to do it, my father's hand went up first and immediately stood up from the class and did my mother's passage. He had memorized that quick. And my mother was like, "Oh, my goodness." Luckily, she had another passage memorized that she could do it. But that story, you know, so they did that. They went to school together, graduated from Florida A&M College in 1934, if I recall. And that was the beginning of that story. He loved my grandmother. When I think about, yes, I think he used to call my grandmother Ma. And I think she took him in as a son more than anything else. It was just an amazing relationship.
They ended up in St. Petersburg, and he ended up teaching at Gibbs High School. Tell us about that.
Yes, Gibbs High School at the time, again, was a freedom school that was only allowing, was one of the only public schools for African Americans. And it's so interesting to think about how segregation affected our education system. As we have celebrated Juneteenth, which was an amazing emancipation in 1865, when 2 years late, that African Americans had been freed by the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863. And in 1865, Galveston, Texas was told that they were free. So it was a late announcement, but it was a jubilee announcement when it did happen. So you look back on what was and what is today, we have made quite a bit of progress. So Dad used to teach at Gibbs High School. And then Gibbs High School became a satellite of St. Pete College, junior college at the time. When he graduated, after he graduated from FAMU, he and four other graduates from FAMU, as well as Bethune-Cookman College, Edward Waters College, and Florida Memorial College, all these were band directors, and they got together to start the Florida Association of Band Directors, which was the African-American side of what already had been established for white band directors, the Florida Band Association.
So what's interesting, we're fast forward, and then we're going to go back to, I think, one of the most distinguished chapters that were non-musical, is that the legacy left by the leadership of your father, and they called him Mr. Downing, mm-hmm. that Gibbs High School desegregated in 71, and in 1984, Gibbs became home to the Pinellas County Center for the Arts, PCCA, the center's band program, which now consists of the marching band, symphonic band, and the jazz band, and performs regularly through the state. So even back then, his legacy lives on. Let's move to something that just gives me goosebumps, his military career. Actually, their military career.
Their military career. So, like I said, they met at FAMU, Florida A&M College. But after he was drafted in 1942, after graduating from college, he was assigned to Tuskegee Army Airfield and started the Tuskegee Airmen Program. As an entering a pilot school, but he had asthma, and so he had to drop out of pilot school. But he went on to officer training school in Miami. After graduating from that, I think it was 1942. Yeah, he graduated from a candidate school. He asked my mother to pin his bars on him. And that was this his ask to be married, you know, would you marry me kind of thing. And they got married in 1944.
Unbelievable. You know, honestly, I look, there's a picture in the newsletter this month of Bunny and your father. And at every age, your mother was as gorgeous as you. your father always was distinguished, looking into the future. He has eyes that looked into the future.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
Right?
Wholeheartedly.
So, of course, yes, your mother's high school graduation, 1934, absolutely gorgeous. He organized a talent show.
Yes, he did. While he was in the military, he organized Operation Enjoyment, which eventually became Operation Happiness, and who the MC was Chappie James, who became the first four-star general in the Air Force. So, wonderful legacy. It was comprised of Tuskegee Airmen, men and women, that were so talented. They did the entire show. They traveled around the United States and in Korea, where he also proved that jazz was loved by internationally as well.
So two of the girls were born on base in Columbus, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Deidre
mm-hmm.
and Evelyn. Mm-hmm. And then he did an assignment at Lockbourne Air Base, and then two tours of Japan, and then a stint in Washington, and then little Alvinette.
I was born in Washington, D.C., and in 55, and in 56, we traveled to, and that was December of 55, so that was very quickly after birth. I was moved to Japan, and we traveled to Japan, and I stayed in Japan the first 5 or 6 years of my life.
Your dad was a featured musician on Japanese soap operas.
Yes.
And he made several recordings with Japanese jazz artists before global music even became a thing.
That's right. He sure did. In fact, I remember watching listening to a show on radio in Japan where he had the jingle for the show, the music for the show, and my parents were on this. It was a game show, and they had to run around, and when we saw pictures of it, they had to run around and get a balloon off of a railroad track of his toy train before the balloon popped, and he had the music set up for that. So that was an amazing thing that he did. I want to step back to my mother a little bit, because while we were in Japan, my mother had three kids at that time, right? My oldest sister, Deidre, my middle sister, Evelyn, and myself. And the military was amazing because they provided help for each of the moms, for each child. So we all had someone to help us, nannies. They would call them nannies now, I guess. And my mother was brilliant. When I say brilliant, and I think about this, she graduated from high school at 16, graduated from college at 19, returned to her high school in Bartow, Florida, Union Academy, which is another freedom school, and taught at her alumni after she had just graduated 3 years earlier. And so to think about that was amazing. And Dad went to Catholic University in Washington, D.C. while I was, after I had been born, or came back. I can't remember. Yeah, I think it was during that time before we went to Japan.
And he got a master's degree.
He got his master's degree in music. He sure did. And that's another good story. The university required a language to be, you had to have a language to get into the program. To do that, my dad had not studied any languages. So he did what he always does. And if you come into my house today, you will see French books, German books, Japanese books, and as well as Spanish. And as he always does and did in the past, he got a French book, studied it, took the test, passed it with flying colors, and got into the university, Catholic University program, music program with that. So it's like he memorized things so quickly. He really did have a photographic memory, although I'm sure back in the day they didn't call it that. But yeah, he was pretty awesome.
Well, that's why,
yeah,
I mean,
both of them.
Music, I mean, eidetic memory in music, right?
Yeah,
he could listen
yeah.
to something and play it.
And play it. Yes,
absolutely.
He could. His ear was amazing.
So y'all ended up back here at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, Florida, mm-hmm. around 1960.
Mm-hmm.
he had had 21 years of service.
He had. He certainly had.
Had a lot of medals when he retired.
Absolutely. He served his country well. And you had mentioned, and I want to bring up the point, they're both military backgrounds. My mother was a civilian, but had been appointed as the accountant at the base, the assistant to the head accountant at Tuskegee. And so anybody that was serving during the Tuskegee experience moment time on Tuskegee and the Tuskegee Air Base was considered and is considered an original Tuskegee documented airman. Yeah. So my mom and dad, we're one of the few families that have both parents have been awarded the Medal of Honor.
If you're listening, folks, and you want to make a documentary, we are looking to do this. This is just an incredible. The book is just a small pamphlet, but there is an exhibit also at St. Pete College, Gibbs Campus, where he also taught at some point. I also want to point out that your father wrote the music for the Tuskegee Airmen theme song.
He did. He wrote the anthem for them and played it, and it was so many things to be proud of. That he has done, and he remembered. I mean, his legacy, his handprints are everywhere. And I love the fact that I can just kind of walk around St. Petersburg and look at some of the things that I can say, wow, my dad and my mother were part of that. You know, I mentioned Juneteenth, which is past, but my parents were both extremely active civil rights activists. And I'm so proud of the fact that they really did try to make sure that whatever they did and all the activities, especially in music and entertainment, that it was very racially equal. Equality was there. And it was just a joy for anybody who came to our home, no matter what color, no matter what religion. My father also was a minister of music at many churches. And those churches included synagogues, Catholics, Episcopal, Unity, Baptist, AME. So just about every church he has been a minister of music was to help out. So,
but folks, if you've just joined us, we're listening to Alvinette Downing. She's the president of the Al Downing Tampa Bay Jazz Association, and this is her broadcast, Sounds of Healing. We're going to talk now about her father. There's an homage to her dad, the Al Downing Honors at the Palladium on July 20th at 4 o'clock. We'll have information in the article about getting tickets, but now we're going to turn our attention with Alvinette to building a jazz legacy.
Well, I tell you, it has been an honor just to be, when I joined the board and became the president of Al Downing Tampa Bay Jazz Association, I had no idea the immediate impact that our organization was having on not only the members, but the community. And I've seen it just grow in leaps and bounds. The students come, they go from high school, we have a program at Perkins Elementary. We have programs at so many of the schools, five schools, that we come in and teach jazz, and our professional jazz musicians come and mentor students to teach them how to have, you know, how to play jazz. Not only that, on the last Saturday of every month at Pinellas Community Church, we have a jazz jam just for youth. So elementary, middle, and high schoolers, listen up. On the last Saturday of every month, and that is going to be, I believe, the 28th of June coming up, we will have that at Pinellas Community Church, which is 5501 31st Street South in St. Petersburg, from 1 to 3. And you come, bring your instrument, bring your voice if you're a singer, and we actually always have a rhythm section ready to go. Keyboard, drummer, trumpet, and upright bass, and then the students add their instruments to that. So that legacy of introducing jazz to young people has been would have been the pride and joy of my father and mother, and I think it still is for me as well. It started with my sister Evelyn. And when Evelyn, my middle sister, who's gone now, she passed in 2007, was an amazing jazz singer. Also, like my dad, young. He discovered that skill, that beautiful voice when she was very young, and wanted to hone it. But there was no true family-friendly venue that she could sing in, but she was a jazz singer. So what he did was start the Allegro Music Society, which was the actual founding name of All Downing Tampa Bay Jazz Association. And they would have, at different restaurants, jam sessions, basically. And she would be able to sing along with other young people doing jazz. So he, just thinking about that, and my sister had a beautiful voice, and you have heard it. On Angel Eyes is the album that my father and sister Evelyn created, and we've played several cuts from that. When I usually open up with
Sounds of Healing.
Sounds of Healing, no. The Sunshine of Your Life, she starts that, so.
There's also a mural.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
There's a mural on 22nd Street South, right at night between 9th and about 13th Street South, of my father, Al Downing, jazz musician, which we are very proud of. And it's just remarkable to see that. It's also a mural of him in the Perkins Performing Arts Auditorium at the Perkins Performing Arts School.
So we've been talking today about the legacy of Al Downing to the community. Talk to me before we sign off today on this wonderful conversation about some of your personal best memories of your daddy and your mom. There's so many, I'm sure.
Yeah, there are a lot. You know, one of the things that stands out with my mother and father, how they handled race issues. My mother was very fair-skinned, and my dad was much darker. And, you know, my mother used to just acknowledge the beauty of people no matter what color tone they were. And that just, you know, we grew up in a home because we lived in Japan for years. I've lived in China here recently, and all over the nation I've lived and raised my children. I have four children that are all grown. And I think one of the things that both my mother and father made sure that we understood was that, first off, God is the most important thing that should be in our lives, which they both did a great job of teaching about faith, not forcing faith on us, but just showing us how to live a faith-filled life. And they also said how to love others the way God loves us. And so when we grew up, it was not looking at somebody to say, you know, if somebody were to ask, well, what color are they? What race? We'd look at you and say, what's their name? Or, you know, but absolutely there was honor in knowing that if you were African American, we were very proud of it, and you should be proud of it. If you're white, you should be proud of that. You know, if you're Asian, Hispanic, it didn't matter, but it does matter how important your culture is, and to give respect and honor to that, not to forget it. I'm not talking about being blinded, colorblind. That is not exactly what they taught. What they taught us was to acknowledge the beauty of the differences, and I appreciate that. And that was part of our family room when Dad and Mom, well, my father would have a 26-piece orchestra in our family room practicing, and all of the instruments there, and you would see, I remember there was a Russian there, there was a Cuban there, there were St. Petersburg locals there, there were people from Louisiana, there were people from all over the nation that would come in, and my dad would call in and say, hey, we got to practice, or I got a gig for you, come on and sit in. And they would come and practice at our house. And that was what our house looked like. It was all colors, all races, all religions, probably. I just was young to know that. And I think that was the biggest lesson that they taught all of us.
Well, Alvinette, we are so pleased to have you here for Sounds of Healing. I have to tell you, I brought my parents many times to the Monday Night Jazz Jam or to hear your father. They were great jazz enthusiasts. And my mother used to say that nobody could play when the Saints came marching in. like that band. So I'll let you take it from here and wrap us up.
Okay. I am so glad that Nanette has been able to be a part of the Sounds of Healing podcast with me today. And it has been so fun sharing my life, my family's life with our audience. Thank you so much for being a part of this. This has been The Sounds of Healing, and I am Alvinette Downing, hoping that our time together has left you with blessings and healing for your souls. Thank you.